And for that reason, they are crying. They are crying for help. But listen to what Elihu said. And God said that Elihu was telling the truth later when he passed a comment on the words of the different people who spoke. In verse 10, it says, "But no one says, where is God my maker? Who gives songs in the night? Who teaches us more than the beasts of the earth? And makes us wiser than the birds of the heavens?" Now notice verse 12. He said, "There they cry out, but he does not answer because of the pride of evil men." He said, "Surely God will not listen to an empty cry, nor will the Almighty regard it." Now let me stop here. You know what Eli was saying? That people who cry like that are proud people. He said, because of the pride of evil men. People are crying about oppression. They are crying about their troubles. They are saying, "I have oppressors over me. God, do something about the oppressors. Oppressors are the reason why I'm not going forward. Oppressors is the reason why my business is not doing well. Oppressors is why I miss my admission. Oppressors is why I can't pay my school fees." Have you ever heard people say it before? Yeah. Hey, my uncle is not helping me and they are angry. And you keep on asking, you forget that. You feel like asking the fellow, you said it's your uncle, not your father. He doesn't have a primary responsibility towards you. Many of the people who say, "This man is not helping me." If the man tells you his troubles, if he tells you his troubles, you'll be surprised. But I don't want to talk about that. What I'm going to emphasize is the fact that it is called what? Pride. Elihu said, this is how proud men behave. They complain and assume that every trouble I have is because of somebody else. Listen, if you have trouble, let me tell you one that I have done before. You find a boss over you, he's harassing your life. First thing you do, turn around and say, "I hope I'm not harassing those who are under me." Okay. One day I was walking somewhere, and they appointed a new man to head the place. The day he took over, I picked a phone and called my wife. I said, "Baby, how are you doing?" She said, "Fine." "How now? Are you okay? Is everything cool?" You know, that kind of thing. "Have you eaten?" "Just want to tell you, you're very fine. I love you." "Sweetie, bye-bye." She was looking at, "What is going on? Is this guy together?" She didn't know. You know what happened that day? I said, "If I am half as bad as this man is, my wife has suffered for a long time." I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. I saw a man having authority, and I saw the way he was wielding it. And I realized in my home I had authority. So I was saying, "I hope I've not done it like this." That was why I picked my phone and I meant it too. In fact, that day I was with Kingsley. You know, Kingsley, our brother Kingsley. Kingsley did, yes. I was telling him, I said, "Kingsley, I had to call my wife to greet her. I was just imagining the troubles of the last few years, being in subjection to a mugun like this, you know? I was just thinking, because if this I have been behaving, wow, this woman has suffered." It's a very good way to respond to things. When you are being oppressed, check how much you are oppressing people below you. Forget the boss above. That's what Elihu was saying. Forget the oppressor. If you want to pray a prayer of humility, you say, "Where is God my maker?" Listen, no oppressor can hold you down when God is ready to release you. If you are still under oppression, God is not ready to release you yet. And that is what you should be asking. The day God was ready to release Israel from Egypt, he started gently, small trouble. He kept on increasing it, amplifying it. But he went on until Pharaoh said, "Let the people go." God will not relax on the oppressor that's holding down the person he wants to let go. So if the oppressor is not letting you go, you are not ready for release. It's not the oppressor's problem. Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
If the oppressor is not letting you go, you are not ready for release. It's not the oppressor's problem. Listen, the other day, Rockets, where are you? You sent me something. He sent me a speech given by a woman from, is it Ethiopia? No, Sierra Leone. West Africa, yes. Beautiful speech, moving speech, very moving. She said, "I come from the richest country in the earth, in the world. I'm from the richest continent. My country is Sierra Leone. And she was talking and talking and talking and going on and on. And she analyzed the things that were going, the things that made the country very rich. In fact, you know what? We are learning, amen? So give me a second. If I can quickly reach it. Yes, that is a woman.
I come from the richest country in the world. It is located in the richest continent in the world, in the west of the richest continent. My country is called Sierra Leone. On the surface, we are blessed with infinite beauty and abundance of flora and fauna. Producing the most exquisite harvest of coffee, cocoa, fruits, vegetables, and caoutchouc.
Yeah,
you name it, we've got it. We also have diverse wildlife and vast marine resources. And waterfalls and rivers. On a deeper level, we are blessed with the real treasures. Kings and queens of this world desire. This was the largest alluvial diamond ever found. It weighs almost 1,000 carats, 969 to be precise. This beauty was found by an old lady in her backyard about 2 years ago, 125 carats. Some people mine gold in their backyards. That's quite common. Besides gold and diamonds, we have about 20 precious minerals that have been discovered as of today. We recently started extracting huge petroleum reserves that have been discovered. One thing that keeps me puzzled, despite having studied finance and economics at the world's best universities, the following question remains unanswered. Why is it that 5,000 units of our currency is worth 1 unit of your currency?
Did you hear that question? She wants to know why the Western countries' currency is worth much more with all the riches that we have. Please just listen. That is what the Bible calls pride. Just listen.
We are the ones with the actual gold reserves.
That is why when we have the
It's quite evident reserves, that the aid is in fact not coming from the West to Africa, but from Africa to the Western world. The Western world depends on Africa in every possible way, since alternative resources are scarce out here.
Right.
So how does the West ensure that the free aid keeps coming? By systematically destabilizing the wealthiest African nations and their systems, and all that backed by huge PR campaigns, leaving the entire world under the impression that Africa is poor and dying, and merely surviving on the mercy of the West. Well done, Oxfam, UNICEF, Red Cross, Life Aid, and all the other organizations that continuously run multi-million dollar advertisement campaigns depicting charity porn to sustain that image of Africa globally. Ad campaigns paid for by innocent people under the impression to help with their donations.
Sorry, let me stop here because of our time. Why I decided to let us hear this directly because I couldn't easily quote all the things that she was saying. That's why I said, let's just hear it directly. But you got the gist. You got the gist? She gave us a good analysis of how rich her country is, which we agree with. Like, take a country like Nigeria. We are also one of the richest countries in the world. When you count, that's one point. When you count natural resources, except that wealth is not natural resources. Now, Rocky and I were discussing this matter that day. She gave us all this analysis. And you know the truth, I agree with her 100%. The amount of oil reserves we have is huge. Natural gas reserves is huge, you understand? You look at, we have some of the best, our weather is one of the best in the world when it comes to agriculture. It's predictable. The rain falls within a narrow range. It can be plenty this year and less next year, but it never says corn can't grow. It Doesn't say yam can't grow. When last did you hear of crop failure because of drought in Nigeria? That's what they call wealth, natural wealth. Except that is not what real wealth is. Real wealth is produced. I give the power to create wealth. It's not what you met there. I hope you're getting what I'm trying to explain. Now, when Rocky and I were talking about this, this is where I'm going. At the end of the day, she said, why are we poor? If you notice, he said, because we have the gold reserves, yet our currency, 5,000 of it is worth one, all right, of yours, when we are the ones that have the real gold reserve. He said, it happens by you coming over, systematically destabilizing our country, therefore rendering us poor. I told Rokia, I said, I hope she goes back home to preach this gospel, and then she will find out the real reason why her people are poor. Why is dollar expensive right now? I will tell you simply. The simple, we like it like that. It has nothing to do with the white man. It has nothing to do with the American. It is because when we want to have our babies, we can't use our hospital. We go abroad. That's $5,000, $10,000, $15,000 you have to source. If you had to have that child locally, you will have probably paid like 100,000 naira maximum, and you will need less dollars. There is no degree your child is, I'm sorry, you can disagree with this, that your child is getting first degree, I'm not talking about postgraduate, that they can't get well in good, what are you talking about? Half of my classmates are in working all over the world. We all studied medicine in the University of Benin. Trust me, Nigerian top universities, we had problems a few years ago, but right now, we are producing world standard doctors. But give an average person that has money, they won't send their children to school locally. That is why we are poor. Don't let anybody deceive you that it's a white man that's the reason why we are poor. If you wake up one day, do like Gandhi did. If India can't produce it, India won't use it. We will stop buying dollar the way we are buying it right now. Nobody systematically destabilized your economy. You wanted it destabilized. When you stole money, you took them to Switzerland. You took them to North America. You took them to the rest of Europe until they said, don't bring it here anymore. I told Rocky, when we're listening to this, I said, Rocky, I like what she has said, though. But go back home, she will find out, because she's an educated person, educated all over the world. Go back to Africa and work. You will find out why they are poor. You will find out. It's not the white man's problem. I'm talking about pride in human beings. A proud person points fingers. It is because of my uncle they did not help me. Today back I said he had an uncle that will come to a half-brother. A half-brother will come to him all the time. Asking for money. Asking for help. Anybody can need money. Anybody can need help. We all need help once in a while in our lives. That's just the reality of things. But this is the problem. The man after asking for money say, if only my father had not died early. Did you hear that?
Yes.
The two men are born of the same father. They share the same father. Both fathers, which is the same father, died the same day. It was not like the Tunde Bakare half died one day, then the other guys half died another time. One father, different mothers, the man died the same day, and this man is older than Tunde Bakare. He's Tunde Bakare's elder brother. Yet, he will come and say, the reason why I need money from you is because my father died. Forgetting that he had more years with that father than the younger brother he's asking for money. Anybody can have issues. That's not what we're talking about. We're not laughing at him that he was poor. We are saying that, why do you come every day saying it is because my father died? Then back at him, I said one day he couldn't take it anymore. He shouted back at the man. Was that same man not my father? We keep on pointing fingers. Let me tell you, it is what is called pride. Let me tell you something about proud people. They believe themselves. That is why many of us here can be proud and be saying, don't mind those proud people. That's a matter of fact. That's why I say all of us, one of the ways you know you are proud, no matter how real it is to you, once you decide that the reason why I have problems is that people are not helping me, you are into pride. The reason why I'm having pride is because I'm being oppressed. That's what Eli was saying here. You are into pride. That a proud man is one who points fingers at oppressors and points to God and says, look at the oppressors, wicked people. Humility is that, God, where are you? You are my maker. If you set me free, no oppressor can hold me down. Humility is for you to say, God, the day you are happy with me, I'm out of here. I will not be in this prison a day longer than the day that you are ready. When God was ready to let Israel go, Pharaoh said they would not go. God said, if you don't let them go, I will kill your firstborn. He said, Israel is my firstborn. Let him go or I will kill your firstborn. Pharaoh thought it was a joke. Then one day he woke up in the morning, every household there was wailing. He said, what happened? He said, let them go in a hurry. Let them go in a hurry. Then when they went, he said, no, why did I let them go? Let me call them back. God drowned him and all his chariots and his horsemen inside the Red Sea. Why? Because the time for the liberation of Israel had come. Don't blame anybody else for your troubles. It's called pride. And you know what Elihu said? God does not listen to people who are proud. All these ones that you see churches gather, this year, say to your enemy, you will die. Listen, God does not need all your enemies to die before he can bless you. You know, I keep on saying that. Because the scripture says he prepares a table before you in the presence of your enemies. It's all a cop-out. Lazy people who don't want to accept the responsibility. Ask my wife, then when we'll be talking. Say somebody will call her and say, hey, guess what? That our neighbor, you know, I've been sickly since I was a child. My father was sickly. My mother was sick off and on. Our neighbor has confessed. She's the witch that's been afflicting us. My wife said, eh? Is that so? Husband, see what I was told. I told my wife, my friend, tell her to get away. If you're a real Christian, which afflicted you for 20 years, all of you are unbelievers in that home. You should be ashamed of yourself. Your God required the witch to confess before he can deliver you from trouble. What happened to Numbers chapter 23, verse 23? What happened when Balaam said, magic, no enchantment, no divination works against Jacob? How come he's working against you? That should be your question. Those who say that I preach that there are no enemies, I never said so. I'm just saying if they are conquering you, you have a problem. That's what I said. If your God cannot deliver you, you have a problem. That's what I'm saying. And instead of you saying, the enemy, ask, my God, where are you? Which was what Elihu said there. He said, no one says, where is God my maker? Why have I been separated from my God? Because except I've been separated from my God, I will have been delivered from my troubles. That's what I ever preach. Please don't go to any church where you wake up every morning. You are killing witches. Only a confused man tells you to wake up at 2 a.m. to be fighting the witches. I was listening to Kenneth Hagin. He said, all these things are not new. I heard people say that, let us pray to torment demons. He said, why do you want to do that? That's what he said. He said, why do you want to do that? The Bible says Jesus already put them to naught. He has already destroyed principalities and powers. Why do you want to torment those who have been destroyed? Joblessness. You wake up at 12 midnight to be praying against witches. Tomorrow you say you are hypertensive. This is where hypertension comes from. Listen, if you do all-night prayer more than once in 6 months, you have a problem. Go and quote me. You know I'm not the normal preacher, so. More than once in 6 months, you have a problem. Quote it. Say, Pastor Banky, in this area, let's not agree with him. Go and check your Lord Jesus. How many times did he do it? That's why I calculate my once in 6 months. Go and check it. He didn't do it every day. He would do it all night. In the morning, he will appoint his disciples. On the boat, he used to sleep. Some of you will be rebuking marine spirit. The time that Jesus used to sleep, you are waking up rebuking marine spirit. You know why I think he used to sleep on the boat? Number of reasons. One of them is that, you know, a boat goes like this. Rock the man to sleep. Even he will sleep, even at some Pentecostals. All the marine spirits that wants to scatter our boat, Holy Ghost, fire upon you. Jesus was asleep. When they woke him, Ah, master, don't you care that we perish? He said, huh? Who's doing the perishing? He said, look at the boat that's doing the perishing. He said, okay. He went, he rebuked the wind. And you know what the word rebuke there means? He talked down at the wind. He brought the wind to order. It wasn't just he rebuked. Wind, be still. No. It was wind, be careful. You know the way it is. Behave yourself. That was the kind of thing. Stop that nonsense. It was an attitude thing. It wasn't just about the words. It was like, come on, stop that. And he turned to disciples. He said, where is your faith? That is, the height of the wind was inversely proportional to the height of your faith. Did you see that? That is, you are waking me up when you should have... This should not have happened if your faith was up. That's why I said, listen, forget all of these things. Every day, every other day, you are doing all night. If it's more than once in 6 months, you have an issue with understanding. No, I'm not kidding. No. I know you are feeling very righteous because you do it every month. Bros. Leave that in. Most of the people who do all this all night praying, what do they do all day? All day watching football. Why don't you just be smart? You know, Christians are very funny. They pray all night on Friday, sleep all day on Saturday. I don't get it. You're not that busy. Why are you pretending? You're not that busy. There's nothing special about praying at night. He said, but Jesus used to do it because he healed the sick throughout the day. That was the reason. No, really, I'm serious about it. He was just busy throughout the day. He was always busy. So the thing about that night session for us, let me just quickly clarify that as believers, is just the quietness when everybody else has gone to sleep. It's not about being religiously exacting. That's what I'm going to emphasize. It's not that you are exacting yourself religiously and then you are effective. No, the Lord did it because of time. He will minister the whole day, handle people the whole day, teach, minister to the sick, pray for the sick. Then finally say, okay, tell the disciples, you go. They will now retreat to the mountain and then pray the whole night. Don't feel spiritual. That's what I'm going to explain to you. How did we get there? Talking about those always pursuing enemies, that's my issue. If you want to go pray all night regularly, do all night Thanksgiving. Then I know you are really praying. Some people say they prayed all night. I want to just ask them, what were you saying? One of my friends, he ministers in some of the most dangerous parts of this country. Ministers beyond, I think it's 16 years now. He said he has done all night only once or twice in 16 years. Brother sleep all night. It's the will of God. I'm not saying don't pray all night, but don't think that if you pray all night, don't mention one devil. You are giving him too much attention. Actually, that's how we say that when you give the devil attention, it gives you a life direction. Jesus said, the prince of this world is coming. He has nothing in me. We are not friends. The only issue between him and the devil was resist. Turn the stones to bread. I'm not turning stones to bread. Thou shalt not live by bread. A man shall not live by bread alone. That's it. Jump down. Not jumping. You know why? Because thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Bow before. Bow before. He said, it is written, you will worship the Lord, the Lord thy God alone. Only him you will serve. And bow before you. That was the only issue. There's nothing like this devil that said I will not succeed. Let me just tell you, Holy Ghost fire is upon you. It's prayers of fear. Why am I talking about prayer now? Please come for our school of prayer. Get our where's that DVD? We have a school of prayer collection there. 122 messages in two DVDs. 122. We pack it in two DVDs. They are not videos, audios. Pack them to your computer. Listen to the whole thing. After that, devil won't come near your house again. You know why? He realizes that you have understood. That the prince of this world may come. He has nothing in me. I'm not his friend. Jesus said, I beheld Satan falling like lightning. That was why you experienced what you experienced. It's what you know that decides how Satan reacts to you. Let me sit on my message. Look, my time. The Lord is good. How do we receive? That's what I was saying. What we're talking about. How do we get the power of God to flow through our lives? It is by properly rearranging our hearts. We reconnect the circuits. We make things become proper the way God expected them to be, so His power can flow through them when we arrange our thoughts, our thinking process. I hope you are getting the point. That's why I talked about that pride matter. The challenges of our life, that's why this pride thing started. The challenges of our lives are not because of enemies. That's why I began all of this from. Please, let's stop this. Christians, this is a problem that God is helping us to solve, this generation. We have problems. Enemy said, then the enemy came. Forget enemy is not coming anywhere. When we have troubles in life, it is between us and our God. Why we won't chase 1,000? Enemy is chasing 1,000 now. Or 2 chase 10,000. He said, except that their God gave them up. Israel's problem was always because of disobedience to God. So I'm saying to us as believers, when we have challenges, the first thing we do is say, this challenge, how do I react to it? We don't just say enemies. How do I react? I said before, let me repeat it again. There are 3 reasons why Christians have troubles. 1, ignorance. 2, trial of their faith. And 3, just recompense of reward for disobedience. What am I trying to say? If things are not working well for us, a lot of times it's because our circuits are not well connected. You know, I said something the other day, let me just say it again to make you laugh. Okay, I was in the office here. On one of these days, I just tuned the TV to a Christian channel, and I stumbled on Joseph Prince. And Joseph Prince was saying something he heard me say for a very long time, and I was laughing. He said there was a time he wasn't feeling well. He said he decided to start doing exercise. How many of you have seen Joseph Prince before? Oh, everybody knows Joseph Prince. Good. You know how skinny he is? He said he lost weight, you know, from that skinny level. He said he was jogging 45 minutes every day. He went fully organic. He said he was drinking carrot juice. Why do men of God drink carrot juice? Because Derek Prince said he drank carrot juice until it turned yellow. If I say this, some of you will laugh, some of you disagree, but I'm quoting somebody who not me. They represent all these dieting are doctrines of demons. No, me talk. No, me. No, not me. Please, oh, not me. It's the reference. Oh, it's not me. The reference is all doctrines of demons. I mean, he said I've done it before too. He said I drank carrot juice until I turned yellow. Because really, it can happen. You have a lot of the carotene in your body. It shows through, it was a white man, so it showed through his skin. Joseph Prince said he was drinking carrot juice also. He said he was every day jogging, 45 minutes, drinking carrot juice, eating organic food. He said one day he did a mental calculation and found out that he has seen the doctor more during this period of intensive bodily attention than the previous times in his life, so he stopped. He said, what do I now do? He said, I'm not saying don't do it. So if you like. He said, but I do my own now with the word of God. So now he eats anything he likes. He doesn't like to joke. But he takes the word of God and spends that time on it. Anybody jogging for health, spending more time jogging for health than hearing and declaring God's word is not planning for real health. Planning for deception. I'm not saying you shouldn't jog. Go and jog. But please, before you go and jog, first carry your Bible and jog it. Jog the scripture. He said, took my infirmities and my diseases. By his stripes, I am healed. When you do that, then the devil will go away. I'm telling you the truth. The Lord is good. Oh God, I just wanted to drop that. What am I going to say? When we have challenges, forget enemies. God is saying, rearrange the circuits of your life. What do I mean by the circuits? Your belief process, your thinking process. You understand? Like I said, sometimes Christians think that I have saved God, He will do back for me. It's a very bad process. It shocks the power of God. You want to pray, say, God, I have done for you. You do something back for me. It shocks the power. The power just discharges into the wall. It's supposed to pass through you as you're about to pray. Say, Lord, thank you. This year is my year of breakthrough. Last year I was a faithful tither. I gave my first fruit. I gave a lot of offerings. It has just, you've spoiled it. You've ruined it. Because you start thinking differently. How do you relate with people? Listen, all the precepts, let me just talk about the precepts. All the precepts we talk about as believers, when it comes to how to do our business, these are the things that are required for the power of God to flow properly. Let me give an example. We talk about a good name. Remember that I talked about a number of things that you need to be able to take your land. Do you understand? All those things, who can remind me of them? There are about 8 of them. Okay, because of time, well, anybody listening to this, get the previous messages. It's listed in there. All those things, they must be part of our hearts, all right, for the power of God to be able to flow. Please, because of my time, I can't develop it further. So please, listen to all those precepts. If we ever talk, okay, yes, let me just recommend. Go and listen. What I wanted to say now, this is a summary of it. There are precepts, there are principles we use for all endeavors in life, all right? And those things are used to arrange our circuits so the grace of God can flow. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you understand, say amen.
Amen.
You sure you understand?
Yes.
Okay, good. Now, so what are those things? Please go and listen to this set of messages. Creating the opportunities for prosperity. Please write it down in case you don't know those messages. 1, creating the opportunities for prosperity. 2, foundation and pillars of financial prosperity. Okay? And is there a third one I want to recommend? Yes, spiritual economic empowerment and development strategies seminar that we did. All of these messages are available on our website, okay? Very easy to remember, pastor.ng, okay? You go there, or kwm.com.ng. Just listen to them. Because of time, I can't discuss any one of them now. I intended to, but I can't because of time. But what I just want to say is that all of those things are the proper circuitry connections of your life. When we talk about diligence, that's where it comes in. Foundations and pillars. There are pillars of financial prosperity where diligence comes in. It comes in. Knowing proper accounting. Proverbs 27 verse 23. Know the condition of your flock. It's part of it. These are all the connections so that we don't short-circuit the power of God. I hope you get my point there. All right. That's the thing I want to say there. Please, one more thing I say, then we close. Because our last day, so I'm really having to discharge everything I have to say. The last one I want to say is just a few minutes. If you have your Bibles quickly, please open to the book of Isaiah chapter 60. Let's read that one quickly and I close with it. He said in verse 1, he said, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of God has risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear upon you." Let me just stop here, please, because of time. What was he saying here? It's simple. We have talked a lot about the grace of God. We have discussed many things. He said, if God's glory comes, the glory of God comes upon somebody, the fellow still needs to get up and shine. Shining is a deliberate thing you do. If you go and read in that book of Genesis chapter 1, I referred to it at the beginning. It said, be fruitful, multiply. God was blessing the man that he created. And if you are going to be fruitful, the first stage to fruitfulness is what? Seed planting. You have to plant your seed. You have to plant your seed. What I'm going to say here is this. We have said many things. I want to just charge everybody and encourage everybody. Get up and shine. Tell you to your neighbor. Say, get up. Shine. That's what I'm going to explain. Arise, shine. Arise, shine. When I say, you say amen. Arise, shine.
Amen.
I'm giving you the instruction of God. Arise, shine.
Amen.
What am I saying by that? Listen to this. Get up and do what you are supposed to do.
Amen.
The Bible says, he that watches the wind will not sow. He that observes the cloud will not reap. I like the way Living Bible says it. He said, anyone waiting for conditions to be perfect, we get nothing done. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? I just want to give a few practical tips. Sometimes people will tell me, I need money to start my business. I said, you obviously don't have a business. Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
You don't have. You are needing money to start a business. You don't have a business. I don't know how many of you watch this program, Shark Tank. You should watch it. My wife and I watch it. Our kids even love to watch it at a young age. Shark Tank is where 4 venture capitalists will sit down. We have a Dragon's Den in Nigeria. All right, the UK one is also called Dragon's Den. But the American one is called Shark Tank. That's the one I've watched a lot of it. Those people will sit down and people will come and pitch to them their business for them to come and invest in. There's something they keep on saying. They will say, what you have is an idea, not a business. It's very common. They say, go and start the business first. Then it will get to a point where I know you need money to move things forward. That right now, you're not going anywhere. And that is the number one reason why they decline people investment. That you just have beautiful ideas. Get up and do something. You don't have to do it big. Do it small. You know, I have this brilliant big idea. I want to open a big supermarket. Open a shop first. You know, why are you pretending? Everybody has ideas. If you have ever handled big money, they'll give you big money, you will lose it. I don't have time to go into that in detail, but I just want to tell people. One of the things I said earlier, grace will give you wisdom. Can you remember that? Grace brings wisdom to you. The problem with a lot of people is that they start bringing forth the excuses why they cannot obey the wisdom that grace has brought. That's why Solomon told us in that Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 4, he that watches the wind will not sow. He that observes the clouds will not reap. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 4. Anyone waiting for conditions to be perfect will have nothing done. Will get nothing done. Let me summarize my message there because I don't have a lot of time. The summary of it is what? Arise, shine. People need to get up and respond to the movement of grace. Grace is not going to compel you to get up when you don't have to get up. It will give you a push, but you have to be the one to get up. You have to cooperate with grace. You have to get up in the morning and go out and do something. That's what I'm trying to explain. If you want God to shine a blessing upon you so that you'll be materially successful, stop staying in your bedroom. Light has come upon you. Grace has come upon you.
Amen.
And that word now says, arise, shine. Turn to your neighbor again, say, arise.
Arise.
Shine.
Shine.
Say, your time has come. Turn to somebody else, do the same. Turn to somebody else, please do the same. Remember, you need a number of things to possess your land. You need a field, something you get up that you do every day. You go out, make a name for yourself in that area. When I say name, I don't mean, pride name. I mean like somebody should just know that, if I need this, this is a reliable person to do it for me. That's when you know that you are really started. It may even be taking care of people's compound, make sure it's clean. It gets to the time where you say, no, I know that if I see this young man, my compound will be clean. Once people start referring people to you, know you are beginning to impart lives. That's what we are talking about. You must get up and go and bless somebody. Work towards establishing righteousness in all that you do. What does that mean? Follow divine precepts in everything. Know that your life is not first and foremost about material success, but about establishing righteousness. That people will, through you, know what is right to do. That's what we mean by establishing righteousness. So this is not how they do, like I told you before. Henry Ford, we learn from him how to give warranties. You buy a car, they say the first, how many years was it that time? Now they are giving up to 5 years warranty. They will tell you, the first 3 years, 100,000 kilometers, if it's supposed to bring it to us. Some people develop that. That's called establishing righteousness. This one that you put your name, you make clothes, your name is on it. You make a drink, your name is on it. There's a reason for it. The idea is that one time I see that name, it should speak. It should speak. It should speak. I should know what is inside and what's not inside. Somebody's integrity. That's what you go for in life. You go for all of this, and don't forget one thing I said. Expect divine placement. One day, you will be a very good shepherd. But it removes you from being a shepherd. It makes you a warrior and makes you a king. David did not have a dream, one day I'll be a king. But God took him from where he was faithful. Don't forget, he made a name there. Being a good shepherd and being a very good man as instrument playing. When Saul was sick, they said there's a young boy. He plays so well. I imagine that David used to actually entertain everybody in the square. Everybody knew him. He was a shepherd and a musician. I hope you're getting my point. Because of time, we can't develop it further. But I hope you've gotten the point in this I've said. All right, the Lord is good. Can I just put up one hand or both if you choose? Let me bless you with the blessing of God. The peace of God is with you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I said the peace of God is with you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The grace of God is upon you, upon your household, upon all that you do in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Your ministry is blessed in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Your family is blessed in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Your business is blessed in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Your body is blessed in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You are healed from the top of your head to the soles of your feet in the name of Jesus Christ. No evil will befall you. No plague will come near your dwelling place. The Lord will be between your going out and your coming in the name of Jesus Christ. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but none will come near you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I said none will come near you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
No matter what the economy outside there says, you will be stable in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You will not lack in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The grace to succeed is yours in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
It will flow through you into all that you do in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Peace be upon you.
Amen.
I said peace be upon you.
Amen.
Peace be upon you.
Amen.
That peace is driving out every affliction from your body now in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I command that headache to depart from you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
That back pain has left you now in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
That pain in your eye is gone in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The weakness in your heart is gone in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Your kidneys are functioning well in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
No affliction will stay with you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I command you to be of sound mind.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Poverty is gone out of your life.
Amen.
Poverty is gone out of your life.
Amen.
Poverty is gone out of your life.
Amen.
Confusion is gone out of your life.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
God will be with you in your going out and in your coming in.
Amen.
Throughout this season, you are safe.
Amen.
Let nobody make you live in fear. If you go home this Christmas time, they say, don't eat in that house, there are witches there. Eat double portion.
Amen.
It will be well with you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hey, let me remind you of this. They say, hey, now your auntie, she's a witch. If you give her anything, she uses it for juju, give her three. She can't look. If you feed a witch, the witching ability will disappear. Is this when you keep them in hunger? That's when they become strong against you. Are you getting my point? Bless people this season.
Amen.
Because you are a blessing that God has made.
Amen.
If you are going to the village, that old woman that everybody is afraid of, buy her print, buy her cloth, give her a carton of juice. All right? No evil will happen to you.
Amen.
Because you are protected by the blood of Jesus,
Amen.
You are protected by the power of the Almighty.
Amen.
You are dwelling in the secret place of the Most High.
Amen.
Therefore, you are abiding under the shadow of the Almighty.
Amen.
That is why no evil will befall you.
Amen.
Don't let fear open doors in your life.
Amen.
No, don't let it happen. It will not happen to you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
All right, let's share the grace in fellowship. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of fruitfulness in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. One more time. Bless somebody on your left and your right, please.